Our Christmas Eve Day text is taken again from Luke's Gospel. Throughout the season of Advent, we have been following the theme of recapturing the wonder of Christmas. One of those wonderful texts, familiar texts, is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. It's on page number 1,500. And 91 in your pew Bibles, if you want to turn to it there, as I read from God's perfect, precious, holy word. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Well, we're down to the wire. Shop till you drop. Right? Only one more shopping day till Christmas. How many have all their shopping done? Impressive. How many haven't started yet? Raise your hand. I thought so. Okay. What do you get for someone who has everything already? I've been struggling with, especially for my mom. You know, she lives in a nursing home where all her meals are provided. And, you know, what can I get for mom? One of the things that means a lot to her that I get every year is I put a poinsettia on our church altar in memory of my dad, and I take it to her. That is something she has always loved. But what else? Good question. As we think about giving, as we think about God's greatest gift to us, key scripture verse this morning and for this day is 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. This morning I want to think about gifts, and especially God's indescribable gift, a gift too wonderful for words. The whole reason for our giving to others is because we remember God's greatest gift to us, to all of us, on this Christmas day. Today we want to think about four criteria for good and great gift giving, based on four key components of God's greatest gift, indescribable gift to us, that first Christmas. If you really want to reflect the spirit of Christmas giving, emulate God's greatest gift, His giving to us. The first thing that I think about God's greatest gift and giving to us is that it is the personal gift. The personal gift. By the way, you don't have sermon notes or fill in the blanks. That's my Christmas present to you this week.
But if you were taking notes, the first point is that it's a personal gift. It's so disheartening, isn't it, to receive a gift without a personal touch. Just imagine the scenario where a boss has his secretary go out to pick out something for his wife. Really? The best gifts are things that engage our personal time and personal thought, investing in picking things out. The best gifts involve giving something of ourselves that reflect ourselves, connecting with something specific involving the person to whom you're giving. The best yet is a reflection of the nature and value of that relationship as you give a gift. I want to give a tip to all you guys out there. Watch Hallmark Christmas movies. They're great for learning what to give and what not to give at Christmas time, right? Am I right? Christmas Hallmark movies. I take notes anymore. One of the greatest Christmas gifts you can receive, especially at Christmas time, is the revelation and realization that God knows each of us personally, individually, that God wants us to know Him. That's what this gift of Christmas is all about. Psalm 139 says, O Lord, You have known me. You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. What a mind-blowing thought to know that God knows every single detail about us. He knows even the number of hairs on our head. He knows a word before it comes on our tongue, the psalmist sings. Amazing. God knows us intimately and loves us completely. That's amazing. Like a loving Father, like our loving Heavenly Father, God stoops to our level to get personal. God could not possibly have made Himself bigger to impress us. Instead, He made Himself smaller to get alongside of us. Think about the tiny little hand of God in the manger. Consider for a moment, have you ever placed your hand, your finger, inside the hand of a tiny little baby and felt its grip? How the baby tugs at your finger, it also tugs at your heart, doesn't it? Christmas is the powerful grip of the tiny hand reaching from a bed of straw. It is love tugging at our hearts, pulling us back to God. The Bible says God, invisible in His own nature, became visible in ours. Beyond our grasp, He chose to come within our grasp. That's the mystery and marvel of the incarnation, of this personal Christmas gift. This intimately personal gift of God at Christmas time. God gave His only begotten Son for our sake. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that everyone who believes in Him might not perish, but have everlasting life. That's not only the gospel in a nutshell, the heart of the Christian faith. It is the message of Christmas for the world. And it's personal. Even if you were the only one that ever lived on the face of the earth, God loved you so much that He sent His only Son for you personally. I want you to take this personally. This is a great gift, a personal gift. Emmanuel, God with us. God came to be with us, to dwell among us. It can't get more personal than that. It's a personal gift, and it's a practical gift, a practical gift. I personally, I don't want to offend anybody. Some of you love to go to the Christmas stores, the Christmas tree shops, with all the knick-knacky, sometimes tacky, little tchotchke. Is that what they call them up here in North Jersey and New York? Tchotchke gifts. It's like, okay, I've built enough shelves, I've gotten enough cabinets to hold all the knick-knacky things, whatever. I like practical gifts. Oh, I like functional, useful, needed, helpful gifts. The classic story in our household is when my father-in-law bought a car headlight to give to my mother-in-law for Christmas. You don't get any more practical than that. It's an unforgettable gift, as a matter of fact. I don't recommend it. Anyhow, practical. It reminds me of the story about the woman who stuck her Christmas wish list up on the refrigerator door for her husband to read. She kept it brilliantly simple, asking for only something that will make me look slim and beautiful. Right? You know what's coming. When Christmas arrived, she was hoping for a lovely wrapped package from Victoria's Secret or whatever, something intimate inside, but instead she got an exercise bike. I know, you've heard that before. Well, anyhow, Santa might bring us something we deserve, but God gives us something that we need, something we don't deserve. The wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve, the judgment of God, but God gives us such a practical gift, the gift of forgiveness by His amazing grace. Praise God for His indescribable gift. The angel Gabriel said to Mary, "You shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." That's exactly what we needed, salvation from our sin. We couldn't afford it. We couldn't buy it. We couldn't earn it for ourselves. The only way to receive salvation is to just simply receive the gift of God. That's what a gift is all about, after all. God's greatest gift fit our practical need, even when we weren't aware of our need. His indescribable gift is personal and practical, and it's also a permanent gift. It is permanent. Great gifts are something that will last at least until she gets it. Right? Think about that. Permanency. I see in your eyes sometimes when you give me a plate of cookies for Christmas that there's a hint of suspicion that it's not going to make it home to my wife. I don't know why you think that. I can't imagine. But anyhow, most of the time they do get home. You know, I was reminded of my sister Lynn lives in Virginia. One time she was away for a couple days before Christmas visiting my nephew. And when they arrived home to their house in Chesapeake, Virginia, there was a package on the front step. And it said perishable on it. It was shipped by UPS from who knows where, but it said Omaha Steaks. Packed in a styrofoam box with dry ice, it was still frozen. Can you imagine? Talk about marvelous. Anyhow, God's great gift is permanent, non-perishable, eternal, if you will. the gift that never wears out, the gift that never runs out, the gift that never gets old, never grows obsolete, never expires, never retires, lasts forever. Literally. Salvation in His name. What a great gift. Well, I have one more point. Usually you get three. Christmas, you get an extra point because you've been good. No. Life without Christ is a hopeless end. Life with Christ is endless hope, permanent. And that gift is also a purchased gift. A purchased gift. No white elephant, no re-gifted gift, not cheap, not inexpensive. God's greatest gift was purchased with the cost of the life of His only begotten Son. He purchased our redemption, paid in full, at a premium rate, by His own blood, to free us from our sin. This is a gift that keeps on giving. Literally, the best gift of all, the sacrifice of His love. Praise God for His purchased gift. This Christmas, may all of our gifts reflect the love, reflect the personal touch, reflect all of the practical concerns of the needs of the people that we love, that we reflect God's greatest gift given to us, to every single one of us, to you and to me. If you have not received that gift personally, I hope that today, by faith, you will pray a prayer to receive that great gift, because God is extending that to you. It's wrapped up in a manger, in His Son. By faith, pray a prayer. Yes, Lord, I know my need. I know that I've sinned. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. We're going to follow on this theme again tonight. I hope that you'll come back for one of our services. And as I'm preaching tonight, in the last two services, we're going to continue to talk about gifts and giving. But I pray that above all else, this Christmas, you give Jesus your heart as your special Christmas gift. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You for Your matchless, immense, amazing, wondrous love. We thank You that You know us completely. And yet, You love us amazingly. Help us, Lord, to love You. And in that love, love one another. Help us to be lights and love in a world in shadows and darkness and alone. That we might wrap all of Your love and share it with others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.